Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, May the 27th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. We're grateful for all that you've shown us in the past, and we are grateful for that which you are planning to teach us today. We ask that you would continue to fill us with understanding, that our lives might reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's subject is the rise of the Vicar of Christ. The rise of the Vicar of Christ. And we're going to be looking at Daniel chapter 8, part 2. Part 2. And of course, we've studied part of this before. We continue our study in the rise of the Vicar of Christ. Now, we looked at Daniel chapter 8, verses 21 and 22, which says, "And the rough goat is the king of Grecia." Remember, we had dealt with the rough goat, and we talked about the ram before that in our last session. And I would suggest that you check that also, just to bring yourself up to date. So Daniel chapter 8, verses 21 and 22 says, "And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power." So notice how this plays out. And this is very important that you understand what is happening here. The rough goat and that great horn. Remember, the great horn refers directly to who? Alexander the Great. He was the one who conquered nations with great power and speed. And then shortly after that, of course, he passed away. And then there were four kings that stood up. Four of his leaders. Four of his generals. They all stood up together. All right. Now, if you look at Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 and 12, it says, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land." So let's do this again so that you get it straight. First, there's a ram that comes. Then there's a rough goat that comes really fast and completely destroys the ram. That rough goat is very strong. And that is the kingdom of Greece, led by Alexander the Great, who has great power to fight in wars. And he overcomes them. He overcomes the Medo-Persia. And now he lives for a short time after that. And then after he dies, four of his generals take charge of the nation. And of course, as we just read, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power, not in Alexander's power, okay? All right. Then we move on to see that there's a little horn that comes up out of one of these four. Verse 9 and 12. Daniel chapter 8 says, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land." So, questioned, how was this little horn to exalt itself against Christ and his mediatorial work? Daniel 8 and verse 11 says, "Yea, he magnified itself. It magnified itself, even to the prince of the host. And it took away from him the continual burnt offering, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down." So now notice what is happening here. This little horn does something. It stops the daily sacrifice. It stops the worship of the God of heaven. And the place of his sanctuary is cast down. The whole process of godly worship is cast down. This is what this little horn does to exalt himself against Christ and Christ's mediatorial work. So let's go back to the beginning again. You've got this rough goat. He's standing there. He's the one that overcomes Greece. That is, he's the one that overcomes Medo-Persia. He is Greece. He's led by Alexander the Great. And after he has been victorious, after a while he dies, and four of his generals take his place. And the verse says that four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And then out of one of these four kingdoms came forth a little horn. Now notice that Alexander is described as the great horn. But now out of one of these four, they come forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great towards the south and towards the east and towards the pleasant land. And the question is asked, how was this little horn to exalt itself against Christ and his mediatorial work? And verse 11 says that he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and he took away from him the continual burnt offering, means the sin offering, the whole process of worship of the God of heaven and earth, and he destroyed or cast down the sanctuary in its place. The next question is, in the interpretation of the vision, how is this self-exaltation set forth? Now notice, and through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. So that's what the little horn does. He does some really amazing things. He causes craft to prosper in his hand, takes money in as much as he can get it. He shall magnify himself in his heart, becomes very, very filled with himself and his power, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but ultimately he will be destroyed without hand. And of course, if you take a look at Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25, you'll see that that's what it says. Now, the next question is, what similar language is used by the Apostle Paul in describing the mystery of iniquity or the man of sin? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it says, that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now that's what the little horn does. And of course, as we studied in our last session, we see that the little horn is indeed the papacy. Now notice this. The last two scriptures that we just read evidently describe one and the same power. A power which, while religious and professedly Christian, is anti-Christian in spirit and the very man of sin himself. Okay? Now if you check Isaiah 14 verses 12 through 14, you'll realize that it was possessed with the selfish ambition of Lucifer. And he assumes to occupy the very seat and place of deity in the temple of God. And he professes to be Christ's vicar or personal representative on earth. And he magnifies himself against Christ and stands up or reigns in the place of and against the prince of princes. So that's what that little horn does. And notice where it comes from in Daniel chapter 8. First, there is the great horn who destroys Medo-Persia and takes possession. That is Greece, led by Alexander the Great. After a while, he dies. In a short while, he dies. And then four of his generals take charge of the nation. And out of one of those four generals, nations, there comes up this little horn, which does all of these things against the people of God and against the worship of God. And of course, you know that that horn is the papacy. All right. Next question. What was given into the hands of, of the power represented by the little horn. What was given into the hands of the power represented by the little horn? Daniel chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered." So now he has the power to stop the daily worship of God of heaven and earth by reason of transgression. He cast down the truth to the ground and practiced and prospered as he did this. Now that's powerful. And that is really a description of the papacy and what it has done and all that it has done and all that it continues to do to this day. I want you to understand it hasn't changed. All right? Now, in conclusion of verse 12, we find the armies of the Franks fighting the battles for papal Rome against the Arian nation. We also find that by reason of transgression, the papacy had cast the truth to the ground for temporal and political gain. The Apostle Paul wrote concerning this, saying, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing or death, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." All right? And not after Christ. And you'll find that in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 through 30. So notice, Paul is saying that this is going to happen. He's warning about grievous wolves entering into the flock, not sparing the flock, the people of God. And he also warns that among those preachers, those leaders, there will arise men speaking perverse things. And these perverse lies will be intentional falsehoods, to draw away disciples after them and not after Christ. So let's go back to the beginning. First, we've seen the great horn. Great horn conquers the Medo-Persian army, and that is Greece. That great horn is Alexander the Great. He's the one who has such potential and ability to fight battles and to win them quickly. But he dies a short while after. And then up comes his four generals who take charge. And the whole of Greece is divided up into four. But then out of one of those four, there rises this little horn. Notice the difference between the great horn, Alexander the Great, and the little horn comes up. And this little horn, of course, begins to do some amazing things. He begins to assault the people of God, begins to challenge the truth, cast down the truth, stop the daily worship, stop the whole approach of worship, and take the place of God. And that is a powerful, powerful thing that this little horn does. It is a description of the papacy and the work that continues to this day. And then, of course, we looked at the last part of Daniel chapter 8 and verse 12, where we saw that Paul warns of what is going to happen in Acts 20 and verses 28 through 30. He warns that this is going to happen. Grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also among some of the leaders, men shall arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them and not after Christ. So the next question is, what did this power, this little horn power, do to the truth? As we said before, Daniel chapter 8 and verse 12, "And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered." And oh, does it prosper still to this day. The economic control that the papacy has maintained throughout the world, the connections to the Wall Street and all of the international financial systems would blow your mind as you look to see all that it has done and continues to do. But that is what it has been doing. It has practiced. It has prospered. And people have supported it. Now notice that the interpretation already given to this vision shows plainly that the power represented by the little horn is the successor of Medo-Persia and Grecia. Alright? In the vision of the seventh chapter of Daniel, which is closely related to this vision, the fourth beast represented the fourth kingdom, or Rome. Now, the little horn, which arose among the ten kingdoms into which Rome was divided, was to be a religio-political power, which was to change the times and law of God and persecute the people of God. So that is what the papacy has been doing. It has been a religio-political power which changed the times and law of God and persecuted the people of God and continues to do that to this day. And I have to make that point consistently. All right. Now, in the vision of the eighth chapter, the ecclesiastical features of this fourth world power are especially noticed and emphasized, and hence the only symbol there used to represent it is the little horn, which waxed exceeding great. Now that is amazing because it is a little horn, and it doesn't cover a large quantity of land, but ultimately it has global influence. All right. The religion of all the four great monarchies mentioned in these prophecies was paganism. But the paganism of ancient Babylon was reproduced in pagan Rome and then adapted and adopted by papal Rome. So now it moved from the paganism of Babylon to the paganism of Rome, but then it was adopted and adapted by papal Rome. The little horn of the eighth chapter represents Rome, both pagan and papal. In its ecclesiastical aspect, with its union of paganism and later the apostate Christianity, with the secular power, with the anti-Christian persecutions of the saints of God, with its perversion of the priesthood of Christ, and with its assertion of both temporal and spiritual power over all the world. So notice the merging swiftly from just Roman paganism to Roman papal paganism, a sort of false Christianity that is developed here quickly. And that is, of course, the little horn of which we speak. In Meyer's book, Rome, Its Rise and Fall, which was published in 1900, he says this: in the absence of an emperor in the West, the popes rapidly gained influence and power, and soon built up an ecclesiastical empire that in some respects took the place of the old empire and carried on its civilizing work. So notice now, in the absence of an emperor, when Rome fell apart, the popes rapidly gained influence and power, and they began an empire which moved into the realm of global in its strength and its power. Now notice something here. There are some similarities of these statements. For instance, the host and the stars of Daniel 8 and verse 10 are the same as the saints of the Most High of Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. And the prince of the host of Daniel 8 and 11 is the action which made the Pope the vicar of God and the high priest of the apostasy. And this really took away from Christ, as far as human intent and power were concerned, his place and work as the only mediator between God and man. And this took away from him, as far as man could take it away, the continual mediation according to the prediction in this prophecy. So notice now, in all of these statements, it's describing the same thing. The rise of the papacy, that blocked off the power of God, that cut the communication between the saints of God and the Father of heaven. And the prophecies of Daniel are cumulative and widening in their view, each carrying matters farther than the preceding one and bringing out more explicitly and more in detail important features down the stream of time. In Daniel chapter 2, under the fourth universal kingdom, the papacy is not represented under any direct symbol or figure at all, simply Rome in its united and divided state. However, in Daniel chapter 7, Rome is symbolized as the little horn, coming up among the ten horns, representing the divided state of Rome, while in Daniel chapter 8, the only figure used to represent the fourth world power is the little horn, which waxed exceeding great. So notice what God has done here through the prophet Daniel. He slowly develops the concept so that you could see the growth of the idea and the emergence of the little horn, which takes power and shuts off the connection between the people of the earth and the God of heaven and earth. Now, in each of these last two chapters, the little horn is introduced to tell especially of the workings of the same terrible power, and that would be Papal Rome. Papal Rome. Well, I think we can pause there for today. Maybe we'll continue to take a look at this in the future, but I want you to understand the significance of what we're doing here. This is incredibly important, and we probably will start back at a point where we left off today. But you need to understand the rise of the little horn was not sudden, but it was gradual but very intense in all that it did. The merger between Christianity or apostate Christianity and paganism, and ultimately began to take control not over Rome only, but became a global power. And the point must be made over and over again that that attitude still exists today. You and I must be warned, therefore, that just because Rome, the papacy, might be a little quieter now, it is not because she has any intention of surrendering her power, but she's waiting for a time when she can bring it to bear on the entire world again. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to teach us. We thank you that you continue to show us the path that is ahead. We ask, Lord, that you would give us an understanding so that our lives might reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, May the 27th, 2021.